Good evening. Thank you for joining us for another round of public testimony on House Bill 199. I'm asking that the testifiers confine their remarks to 2 minutes so that we can be sure we get everybody in. Let's see here. We will start with the off-net testimony first, and then we will go to the individuals here in the room. So let's see. Off-net, we have... We have Representative Newman here with us. We have other members that are in another meeting that will be down when they are finished with their other meeting. So we will start with Howard Mosen in Anchorage. If you could state your name and affiliation for the record and begin with your testimony.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Yeah, my name's Howard Mosen, and I'm a school teacher in Anchorage, Alaska, and a commercial salmon fisherman out in Bristol Bay. And I'm calling just to say that I feel strongly that salmon need to be protected as best we can within our state, and we can't control the waters that they go out into in the ocean all the time, but I think we would be well served to protect habitat that the salmon come into once they come into fresh water. So I'm supporting House Bill 199, and I can't think of that's probably one of the biggest reasons that myself, my family, many friends, people I work with enjoyed the lands of Alaska because of the fish and our ability to be around them, around the environments that they survive in, as well as eat them and make a living off them. So that's what I have to say. I hope that's clear.
Thank you, and thank you for your testimony. Do we have any questions from the committee? And I note that Representative Eastman has joined us. Next, we will go to Grant Fairbanks in Bethel. Mr. Fairbanks, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your
Good evening. I'm Grant Fairbanks, a private citizen. I'm a 45-year Alaska resident living on the Kuskokwim River. I've been involved with salmon issues most of my adult life. I've sponsored bills to trying to protect salmon habitat. I've submitted proposals to the Board of Fish. And a few years ago, the Board of Fish voted 7-0 in my favor on a proposal for a Tier 2 permit system for king salmon on the Kuskokwim due to their drastic decline here on their watershed. House Bill 199, the Wild Salmon Legacy Act, was introduced as a reaction to a petition by 40,000 Alaskans who feel that our present laws that permit large-scale mining projects do not adequately protect salmon streams and the spawning areas. Alaska has some of the last wild salmon stocks in the United States, and current statutes and laws are not able to properly protect the water quality, in-stream flow levels, and fish passage needed to support the sustainability of our salmon. We must promote responsible development by requiring projects to avoid or minimize adverse impacts to fish habitat. Under current law, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game does not have the authority to say no to irresponsible projects. We need our legislators and our state government to create real accountability to ensure that vital salmon habitat is not sacrificed when large projects are developed. Here on the Kuskokwim, we are now watching a large Canadian mining company in its final days of permitting possibly being allowed to mine on a salmon stream to the extent that during certain times the mine will curtail the stream flow in winter. 40,000 Alaskans fostered this bill due to our concern about improper development on or near salmon streams. We watch with great interest as some legislators try to water down this bill. True Alaskans will support salmon in this legislation. We will note and support those legislators whom value salmon over projects and corporations that don't value salmon habitat. We are 40,000 strong and getting stronger every day.
Mr. Fairbanks, I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up your testimony, if you would, please.
Work for a better system, develop our resources, and protect the renewable salmon and their habitat. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, and thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Dave Cannon in Aniak. Mr. Cannon, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Dave Cannon, and I'm representing myself. I'm assuming you can hear me.
We can hear you just fine.
Thank you. Yes, again, my name is Dave Cannon, and I'm a fish biologist here in Aniak. I've lived here for 20 years, and prior to that was in Bethel for four. Prior to that, I worked for the Forest Service and the Fish and Wildlife Service in Wyoming and Idaho, and experienced combat biology in Idaho when dealing with threatened and endangered salmon under the Threatened and Endangered Species Act. That was in the early 90s. Death threats trying to save the few remaining wild salmon of the Salmon River weren't uncommon. It's estimated that 16 million anadromous fishes went up the Columbia River annually. Picture this. Wild fish now comprise only 20% of the run in the Columbia River. And so even in the best years, there's less than 600,000 wild fish returning to the Columbia, and that's tremendously sad. Originally, I'm from Pennsylvania, and I probably don't have to tell you about the Atlantic salmon on the East Coast and how they're found in only a pittance of their original habitat. And here in the Kuskokwim, we've seen a substantial downturn in king salmon numbers recently, but at least our habitat for now is intact. But across the state, there are or have been projects proposed like the Susitna Dam, Pebble Mine and Chewitna Mine that would negatively affect salmon and other fishes. It would be foolish to think that Alaska, without rigorous habitat measures, that we won't experience the death by a thousand cuts like has happened everywhere else. And I'll close with 20 years ago when I did move here, I was surprised to see some of the same pressures going on that I saw in Wyoming and Idaho. And I began holding symposia at American Fisheries Society meetings titled Human Nature, Human Influences. Are Alaska's aquatic resources really that different? I was surprised that several fellow biologists considered me chicken little. Today, several of them have come back to me and expressed concern for the future of our salmon. So, therefore, I do support House Bill 199 or similar habitat protecting measures. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cannon, for your testimony. Are there any questions? Thank you. Next, we will go to Petersburg. Jasmine, if you could state your full name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
Hi, my name is Jasmine Yermir. I'm a 17-year-old senior from Petersburg calling in to testify on behalf of myself. Thank you for hearing me today. I believe that House Bill 199 is a bill that will help protect salmon rights and salmon health for our future. As an Alaskan, I've been out on boats since I was 12 years old. I got my first fishing job at 14, staying in crab tendering, and have since gone on to dungy crab and staying for salmon. My parents met in Petersburg working at the cannery and eventually went on to seining together. They got married on the fishing vessel Rose Lee, which is still a working fishing boat today. Salmon is in every way a huge part of my life, and it's not something that I want to imagine my life without. Salmon habitat is a renewable resource that provides countless Alaskans across the state every year food, a way to make a living, and a way of life. The value of salmon in Alaska is immeasurable, so I ask legislators to hold big companies accountable for the damage that they've dealt to our waters and to put a stop to similar issues in the future. It's been nearly 60 years since this salmon legislation has been updated, and the world around us has vastly changed. Without a viable and returning salmon population, I don't see a future for many small towns in Alaska like my own fishing town. I want to be able to show my kids my lifestyle and allow them to appreciate one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen just the way I have. HB 199 will help protect our waters so my children, my grandchildren, and all future generations of Alaskans can experience Alaska the way we have now. I'd like to thank Representative Stutes for sponsoring this bill and the Fisheries Committee for your work to protect our waters, our fish, and our culture. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we will go to Fairbanks to Alicia Quinan. Alicia, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we certainly can.
Excellent. Yes, my name is Alyssa Quinton from Fairbanks District 1. I'm representing myself. I just wanted to take a second and, again, thank you, Representative Stutes, and this committee for all of your work and allowing for public testimony again on this bill. I really do appreciate it. I'm calling again not only to voice my support for this bill and the work that's being done around it, but also to raise awareness in the interior about this bill and the conversation surrounding it. I believe this bill provides a good step in the way to give clear engagement, stronger and better protection, and more responsibility, fiscal responsibility, political responsibility, and social responsibility. And that's huge in protecting our resources. Like I said, this is an excellent step in the right direction and responsible development, but it also gives our state agencies like Fish and Game better guidance and direction when surveying and making sure that any water, body of water that has fish in it will be protected, and gives them better guidance and engagement on working with our community statewide. And, of course, there's incidences where this is happening, but elsewhere statewide there's 3, 4, 5 other times where this is not happening, and our resources in those communities are damaged because of that. So we need to change that consistency where responsibility and efficiency and engagement happens every single time. And with some work, this bill can absolutely do that. So thank you guys for working on this bill and allowing to hear our voices. Best of wishes and good luck through the rest of the session, and have a great week. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Jody Sparks in Sterling. Jody, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Hi, my name is Jody Sparks, and I am representing myself. First off, I'd like to thank the House Fisheries Committee for the opportunity to testify on this important bill. I'm testifying today because I support stronger protections for salmon habitat. I believe that the revised bill does not provide strong enough safeguards to this natural resource, and I support stronger, more sustainable protections for salmon habitat. I helped collect petitions for the Stand for Salmon ballot initiative, and statewide we got around 42,000 Alaskans signing on to that. And so Alaskans support stronger, more rigorous salmon habitat protection. I'm a senior at Salatna High School, and I live in Sterling, about 30 minutes away from town. I'm also a student ambassador with the Salatna Chamber of Commerce, and in this role, I've learned a lot that drives my town economically. The most striking thing about Salatna is the Kenai River. It cuts right through our downtown and runs down the side of Salatna Creek Park, where we hold our Salmon Day celebration and river festival in the summer. Salatna's economy, and this is true on the Kenai Peninsula in general, is driven by tourism. According to the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District, 260,000 tourists visited the Kenai in 2016, which is about 4 times our population. Fishing is by far the biggest draw for these visitors. As I've been listening to other testimony, I've heard impactful stories from people whose lives are dependent on salmon. And I'd like to remind the city that even though my town is miles from any coastline, salmon are still a necessity for my community's cultural and economic health. I'd like to thank the committee and Representative Stutes for working on this important issue and making sure that salmon are at the forefront of the political discussion in Alaska. And thank you for accepting my testimony.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to McCarthy, Malcolm Vance. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Malcolm Vance, representing myself.
Begin your testimony, please.
I just want to say I'm in full support of the House Bill 199, and I'm a 37-year veteran commercial fisherman of Bristol Bay. and worked my way all the way up from the from cannery work all the way up to having a boat and permit over almost 40 years. And it's an amazing place for generations to come. Along with, in the wintertime, I'm a little more of a subsistence lifestyle here in the McCarthy area. And to be able to have that resource for the summertime is amazing. And I bring a lot of it home also to eat in the wintertime. But the fact that we have an ability here to protect these waters is unprecedented in the 21st century. And we should all look toward, you know, making this House Bill 199 pass through. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Rita Goodrich in Sitka. Rita, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
My name is Rita Goodrich, and I represent myself. I'm a third-generation Alaskan. HB 199 in its current version removes the presumption of anadromy from Alaskan waters, which leaves the vulnerable fish of our state absurdly vulnerable to mining and development. To presume Alaskan waters do not contain anadromous fish and that they are not vulnerable to development is to not know Alaskan waters or the sensitivity of fish to the environment. We must restore the presumption of anadromy in this bill. I recently spent time working on my aunt's farm in Vermont. I was deeply moved and fascinated by the beauty of the land, the livelihoods connected to food that were earned from that land, and the culture that this economy created. The culture of family farming in Vermont reminded me of the culture of commercial fishing in Alaska. Because of my love for Alaska and our fishing communities, I wanted to understand how Vermont had protected these family farms. To quote the nonprofit Rural Vermont, in the 1980s, Vermont farmers saw their property taxes soar. It was in this period of crisis that the nonprofit Rural Vermont was born. Rural Vermont went on to reform the current youth program, also known as Vermont's Agricultural and Managed Forest Land Use Value Program, in which taxation is assessed on the productive value of land rather than being assessed on the value for potential development. The victories for the small family farmer in Vermont via the action of Rural Vermont has been incredible since their inception, and those effects were immediately visible to me as a visitor. They have thriving and dynamic family farms because they endeavored to meaningfully protect them via legislation. Alaska must see our lands and waters for their production value and not their potential development value. Vermont has protected its striking landscapes and culturally rich family farms by not acquiescing to industrial farming, mining development, subdivisions of farmland, strip malls, and billboards.
Rita, I need to ask you to sum up your testimony, if you would, please.
Alaska will not be able to maintain its status as the last bastion of commercial sport and subsistence salmon fishing on Earth if we do not do the same.
I thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next, we will go to Eric Jordan, also in Sitka.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Eric Jordan. I'm representing my salmon fishing business. I got a salmon on House Bill 199. I was born in Wrangell, Alaska in 1949. I've been fishing, trolling salmon since 1950, and I've been involved in fishery politics since my father practiced his speech in favor of statehood in the 50s in our living room, including a short stint on the Alaska Board of Fish, and I'm an elected representative to two groups right now, the two fishing groups. The state of Alaska was literally founded to protect our salmon resource from the corporate canned salmon interests. We have done remarkably well rebuilding our salmon resource and empowering fishermen to control salmon enhancement programs. Nevertheless, we need to be constantly vigilant and upgrade our salmon protections as threats evolve. I'm still fishing 68 years later. My sons fish and my grandchildren are interested. Please update our salmon protections by strengthening this vital legislation for my future, for my sons, for my grandchildren, and their grandchildren's grandchildren. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Jeremy Price here in the room. Jeremy, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Jeremy Price. I'm the Alaska State Director of Americans for Prosperity, and I rise to testify in opposition to this bill. Alaska is really a frontier state. Sometimes we forget that. Anytime we want to access additional resources, we need to build roads, bridges, pipelines, infrastructure. I had the fortune of handling infrastructure issues on Capitol Hill for 9 years, and for Congressman Young and Senator Murkowski. And the one thing that I learned in my time there is that we're in a unique situation here in Alaska. You can't really put a shovel in the ground without triggering a full-blown environmental impact statement. And that comes with millions of dollars in expenditures from the resource developer and permits and agency approvals and regulatory nightmares. This bill is a regulatory nightmare. It only adds to the cost of a project. As we've seen at the federal level, anytime a federal agency issues a decision or determination that the environmental NGO community disagrees with, they'll file a lawsuit. This type of legislation invites only further litigation and harms Alaskans and the ability of our businesses to develop those resources. If you look at some of the projects that are sitting on the shelf waiting to be built, let's say Kinnick Arm Bridge, that's $900 million. Let's say Port of Anchorage, that's almost $500 million. Ambler Road, what's almost $400 million. All of these projects cost a lot of money. How much more money would these types of projects cost if legislation like this is passed? One of the most egregious things I've seen in the legislation is that the permit can be actually pulled retroactively, rescinded, after a company has begun construction, begun their work. Where's the protection for the private sector in this bill? I rise in opposition. I testify against it. It's bad for Alaskans, and I encourage you to vote against it. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. I will be taking people as based on time on when they signed in. So next we will be going to Sitka for Austin Rice. Austin?
Hey, I'm Austin Rice. I am representing myself. I am a – oh, do I show my testimony?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. I'm a Mount Edgecombe student. I am a three-year junior. I've been fishing for salmon ever since I can hold a pole. I think it's very important for more management in the streams. Salmon are very important to me and my family, and, yeah, I would like salmon to be around for the rest of my life and for future generations. I would like to one day show my kids how to fly fish in the same streams I used to fish. I think overall management is very important. Salmon's very important to my culture, too, including lots of our foods and stuff. And, well, my grandma just needs her salmon, you know? So one day I would like to show my kids and, yeah, sorry, nervous. Thank you, and thanks for the opportunity to speak, and thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Sam Snyder in Anchorage.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for this opportunity to testify, and thank you for your work on this bill and Representative Stutz. I know it's been a difficult process, but I appreciate you being a champion for fisheries over the past 2 years and throughout your career, but particularly on this bill. I will say that I was a little bit disappointed to see the new version. It feels fairly watered down compared to what was a robust attempt to really comprehensively update our fish habitat permitting laws. Dave Cannon kind of stole some of my thunder, so I don't need to repeat what he said. It was very well articulated about the impact to fisheries across the lower 48, and we don't want to go down that road here. We've heard tonight from Americans for Prosperity concerned about the cost added to projects, but I think what we need to really take into consideration is that our fisheries and the voices you're hearing from our fisheries, they're immeasurable, they're invaluable to our state. They do provide jobs, they provide economy, they provide culture, they provide heritage. And we need to take a precautionary principle approach, and we need to be forward-thinking and not suddenly one day realize that we are billions or trillions of dollars in the hole for restoring these fisheries, and we can take active measures now and update way outdated laws to make sure that we don't go down those same paths. So I appreciate House Bill 199 and fully support it. Would love to see critical pieces that were in the original form added back, including public process, the anadromous waters presumption, and strengthening the mitigation standards. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will come here to, I'm sorry, White Ford. I'm not sure if I got that right or not. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, Madam Chair, White Ford.
Oh.
Very close. I'm a 40-year resident of Alaska. I'm the general manager for Fluor here in Anchorage. I'm here to testify against HB 199. It seems to me it's legislation looking for a problem to solve. I believe our current regulatory framework is more than adequate to protect our salmon resource and has stood up well over the years here in Alaska. To this point in time in our state, to be putting in place additional bureaucracy and costs in state government to oversee another complicated bit of permitting and bureaucracy, I think, is the wrong timing. It sends the wrong message to those outside the state looking to invest here. I look on the wall of the photograph of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. That pipeline cost is over 800 streams and waterways. The regulatory burden required to build such a pipeline as we're contemplating currently with the AKLNG project, again, sends the wrong message to the regulatory framework that's already in place to approve that project, and sends the wrong message to outside investors that we're trying to attract to the state to make that project possible. So I would urge you to consider that our current situation is adequate to protect our valuable salmon resource. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Christine Wall.
Hi, my name is Christine Wall. I live in Juneau. I'm representing myself. I'm a fish biologist with a master's in fisheries from the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. I've lived in Alaska since 2009, and every summer since then I've spent doing biological fieldwork on small headwater streams on salmon systems. I've spent 5 summers sampling pristine salmon streams in the Togiak, Nooshigak, and Quijac watersheds in Bristol Bay, and 4 summers in watersheds on Prince of Wales Island. When people think about Alaska salmon streams, they often think about fishing for adult salmon on large rivers, but I spent the majority of my work on tiny wadable streams, sometimes as narrow as a meter across, sampling for juvenile coho, 2-3 inches across. These projects I've been involved in have sampled over 300 miles of all kinds of habitat, beaver ponds, glacial streams, streams coming right off the mountainside. The reality is, if a stream is wet, if it's connected to the ocean and it's not above a waterfall, it has baby salmon in it. But in my work on Prince of Wales, I've gotten an opportunity to see how historic logging practices and road building have impacted these same types of streams. Maybe they still have salmon in them, but it's obvious to the eye and from all the science that's been done in the Pacific Northwest that streams like these simply don't produce as many baby fish. The projects I've worked on have spent millions of dollars, many of them federal, on adding miles of streams to the anadromous waters catalog and restoring streams so that they can provide better fish habitat. This is not a cost-effective way to ensure our salmon streams have the protections they need to provide all the benefits that robust salmon populations provide our society. I urge you to continue your efforts to ensure that our state fish habitat decision-making processes are based in science and allow for adequate habitat quality protections for all of these tiny streams that I promise you have fish in them. Thanks.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Kevin Durling. And I would like to note Representative Christ Tompkins came in about 5 minutes ago, and now we have Representative Tarr with us.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Kevin Durling. I'm here to represent myself, and I'm here to speak against this bill. I believe that the systems in place that have long been enacted with the DNR, the ADEC, and other state agencies have the strength to support good water quality and to maintain our fisheries in a solid basis going forward. And from my understanding of the bill, just as an Alaskan resident, the burdens and the costs that this bill will add to any project. And we've had a lot of discussion about these big, grandiose projects that are being talked about. But my understanding is just a small subdivision in a water, nearby water town, whether it's Anchorage or Kenai, Soldotna. Many of those could be eliminated because they won't be able to pass muster for this new legislation. I think if we do need some more strength to protect salmon, we need to identify exactly what protection we're trying to gain and perhaps amend some of our current regulations instead of a complete rewrite and over-regulating a system that seems to be working quite well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next we'll have Rebecca Logan. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Good evening, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Rebecca Logan. I'm the CEO for the Alaska Support Industry Alliance, and I'm speaking on their behalf tonight, on behalf of their 500 members across the state and 25,000 employees. The Alliance opposes HB 199 in its current form for many reasons, but I'll just give you three to think about. The first is that it doesn't achieve the stated goals of the sponsor statement, specifically that of creating efficiency and predictability in permitting and enforcement. And I think you've heard overwhelmingly from the business community that they're concerned that it does the exact opposite, and in fact, making things more inefficient and bringing instability to permitting and enforcement. The second is unintended consequences. There's a great letter in your documents about from APA talking about their concerns about impacts on future projects like hydroelectric projects and the projects that have already been permitted that retroactivity could impact the ratepayers, the citizens of this state, at a time when we're in a recession that could really increase their costs. And then the third is the impact, the potential impact on the economy, at a time when we have the highest unemployment in the nation and we've lost thousands of the best jobs that we have in this state, to insert uncertainty into the permitting process and the development process leads to delay, and delay leads to no jobs. And so for those reasons and many more, we, the Alliance, is opposed to HB 199. Thank you
for your testimony. Next, we will go to Kevin Mann. Okay. Thomas F. Emerson.
Good evening. My name is Thomas Emerson. I'm representing myself this evening as a commercial salmon troller. I grew up here in Alaska. I'm a third-generation troller. Just bought a boat 3 years ago, and as a result, my livelihood is forever more tied with the future and health of salmon stocks here. My only hope, I guess, would be that the opportunities that I have had in my life will be there for me going forward and for others that might follow in my footsteps. My crew members and I often opine about how what lucky farmers we are with our self-planting field, and how all we have to do is harvest responsibly and not pave the thing over, and we'll just keep reaping the rewards. And I really think House Bill 199 is a good step in that direction, and I would even go further and say that some of the protections outlined in the ballot measure would be appropriate to add. I really think we have a deep societal kind of interest in kind of guarding against the profit maximization of private developers in order to protect this public resource. I think the interest and the timescales that we're on are a little different, and I think this bill would be good in making sure that this resource is here for generations to come. Thanks.
Thank you, and thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Melina Marvin in Petersburg.
Hi, this is Melina Marvin in Petersburg, also representing my small business, Schoolhouse Fish Company. My fiance and I run that business. He is a salmon troller here in Petersburg. We also longline and participate in sea cucumber guide fishery, as well as herring, roe, and kelp fishery, like a lot of people in Petersburg. We depend on salmon, clean water. We depend on a lot of different species to make our living. And I just want to point out, Rebecca Logan, just so that the business community is not behind this bill, and I do beg to differ as a business owner, one of dozens, hundreds of fish-based businesses in the state, maybe thousands, that I think If we were going to run the numbers, I think that the business community would very much be behind HB 199. I agree with, you know, a lot of the people who have spoken that we need to put some language back in this bill. I personally, as a volunteer, collected 150 signatures for the ballot initiative here in Petersburg. People were overwhelmingly supportive. It was a no-brainer, and I'm talking about liberals. I'm talking about conservatives. I'm talking about people from all walks of life, hunting guides, people who work at the bank. I mean, just really everybody, especially people who've moved up from places where salmon have gone extinct. Those people hold especially strong convictions. And speaking also just to, I believe it was Jeremy Price, talking about development and big projects, I think we need to start thinking of this as a win-win. We need to alter a little bit how we develop so it's in line with our fish, and I think we can do it, and I think we can keep people working in the trades, and I don't think we want to pit our industries against each other. I think we just need to learn how to develop with salmon in mind, and I think legislation like this can support us in doing that. And I think as Alaskans, we shouldn't be divided on this. We should really work together and make it work for everybody. And that's why I support HB 199.
Thank you. And thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Sitka and speak. Claire Sanchez, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Hi, my name is Claire Sanchez. I'm representing myself. Thank you for taking the time for giving Alaskans a voice in the permitting process on HB 199. Thank you, Representative Stutz and the Fisheries Committee, for your work to protect Alaskan salmon for future generations. I work for 4-H, a youth development organization here in Sitka. Salmon has been tied to this land for thousands of years, essential to local culture, feeding the community, and economy. Living in a fishing community has allowed Sitka to create the lunch program called Fish to Schools, in which local fishermen donate salmon to feed students in the Sitka School District. Salmon sustains us, and salmon is vital. We need a strong state law to put Alaskans in charge of sustaining our state's thriving salmon economy and way of life for present and future generations. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Anchorage to Nellie Williams. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please. Nellie? We can't hear you. Is your phone on mute?
Got it.
There we go.
We got it. Hi. Thank you for your time today. My name is Nellie Williams. I am a mother of two born and raised Alaskans, an avid angler, and director of Trout Unlimited's Alaska program. Chairman Stutzer, I particularly want to thank you for working through this tough conversation. But on behalf of more than 1,000 sportsmen and women across the state, I would like to emphasize that protecting fish habitat doesn't just help fish. It also supports businesses and families throughout Alaska that depend on salmon, trout, and other fish for fun, food, and income. Specifically, I'll reference the letter signed and submitted by 20 businesses on April 4th. In the sport fishing industry alone, as this letter indicates, our salmon and fishing opportunities support 1,150 businesses, nearly 2,500 Alaska resident fishing guides, and this doesn't include the auxiliary businesses that benefit from this industry, from Ketchikan to Bethel, from Fairbanks to the Kenai Peninsula. Tourism is a $4.8 billion industry in Alaska and responsible for 43,000 jobs, and salmon, fishing, and intact rivers are all a big part of continuing to grow and support this important economic engine. For me, protecting fish habitat is deeply personal. Like many Alaskan families, some of our best-made memories are on a riverbank or a gravel bar. 2 years ago, my son, Mason, who was four at the time, pulled in a giant 2D sockeye salmon on his Spider-Man fishing rod. He struggled to pull it in, but he pulled it in all by himself, and he was elated that day. But what's really surprising to me is that 2 years later, he still knows that gravel bar and thinks about details on that river, and every time we float by, he says, "This is where I caught my favorite fish ever." And I'm going to leave a picture that he drew today all by himself, and he captioned it, "Alaska is where you help salmon." I do not want Mason's generation to look back on 2018 as the time our state decided to throw salmon under the bus in pursuit of short-term gains. Notably, the Pebble Mine is one of those decisions we're facing. And right now, our fish habitat laws are nothing but a straw house that at the slightest nudge by the Pebble Partnership will crumble.
I'm going to have to ask you to sum up your testimony, if you would, please.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said I'm going to have to ask you to sum up your testimony, if you would, please.
Absolutely. There is no question that we need mines, roads, and other resource development, but we don't need to continue to operate under a law that functionally says mines and roads and other resource development is all we need. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Dillingham, to Alana Hurley.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Hi, my name is Alana Hurley, and I'm testifying representing myself and my family. First, I just want to say, Alana, for your work on this bill and for the opportunity to testify tonight. I'm a Yupik woman born and raised in Clark's Point in Bristol Bay, and I've been a commercial set netter for the last 22 years, a fourth-generation commercial set netter. My grandma, great-grandma actually moved down from the YK at the birth of the commercial fishery in the Bay. I called today because I'm in full support of strengthening salmon protections because our people are living the reality of why this update is so very necessary. It's no secret to anyone that the Pebble Mine has been looming over Bristol Bay and holding our people hostage for over a decade. And now we are watching Pebble's federal permit get fast-tracked, that if it's processed by the Army Corps of Engineers, published timeline will be the fastest.
I need to ask you to keep your comments to House Bill 199, if you could do that, please.
Sure, in recent memory, and that's and the reason I bring that up is because this bill and this work is the exact reason we need the state right now to increase protections for salmon. We must update our laws to protect salmon, to protect everything that they sustain and have sustained for so long. I'm thankful for you doing this work. I definitely echo the remarks earlier about returning the bill to its previously more robust language. And I will just close by saying, you know, thank you again so much. The future of this state, priding itself as home to one the last great sockeye salmon fisheries left on the face of the planet, is really going to come down to work like this. And I'm really hopeful for the future, because without us taking on this responsibility and for people like you recognizing how important salmon are to the state, it's a very scary future to think about Alaska without salmon. So I am in full support of this bill, and thank you so much for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Cooper Landing, to David Lisi. If David, if you'd state your full name and affiliation for the record, please.
Sure, thank you. Can everyone hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Excellent. Thank you, Madam Chair, for this opportunity. Also, Representative Stutes, for your hard work on this bill. I represent myself, my fishing guide business in Cooper Landing, and hopefully the greater Kenai Peninsula fishing guide businesses. I think this is a great, unique opportunity for the voices of Alaskans to be heard. I mean, how many times you get a chance to have all these signatures come together in support of something that I would think most Alaskans are in favor of. I come from an area where, you know, we have a creek here in town that's pretty much gone extinct of some of the highest genetic strains of, you know, king salmon because of development on Cooper Creek. You know, I think these updated, you know, protections for salmon are far overdue, and it's now more apparent than ever, considering that corporations have spent nearly $1 million to oppose this legislation. This puts the interest of corporations, especially foreign and non-Alaskan-owned business profits, over Alaskans. Alaskans that will be saddled with the cost of restoring our fisheries over corporations who have pretty much left the state with profits. And I wonder why the business community opposes it. It's mainly because it would be held accountable for damaging salmon streams and not just be able to strip the state of profits and resources. I also think it's not very prudent to rush projects through because of unemployment rates and a sluggish economy. I think that actually is a very foolish reason to oppose this bill. And for that matter, you know, that even strengthens my position even further of why Alaskans should be in favor of it. It just seems like a lot of corporations are getting behind opposing this for quick, easy profits and, you know, less paperwork they claim. But in actuality, you know, this is a one-sentence law that's been needed to be updated for quite a long time. And I do agree that we need to develop with the salmon in mind. And I thank you for your time, Madam Chair, and once again, Rep. Stutes, for your supporting this bill.
And thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Anna Gooden in Fairbanks. Anna, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Good evening. Thank you, Anna. Anna Gooden is G. You know the spelling. Gooden. I'm in Fairbanks, and I have no affiliation but myself. I am calling to support House Bill 199. As the other speakers have said so eloquently, protections for salmon are long overdue, and clearly more important than ever. We have a fairly out-of-control railroad going on out of Washington, D.C., and the state needs to develop its own rules so that it has something to say when projects are being imposed from outside. It just stuns me that there is no requirement to minimize adverse effects from any development project. That seems like the easiest place to start, and that the revision of 199 takes that out seems very unfortunate to me. But if it has to start where it is, I don't know enough about being on these committees. I don't know enough about your job to know. But I just want to encourage you to take the strongest measures you can, because this is not about money. This is about food on the table of tens of thousands of Alaskan families that shouldn't be fodder for this stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will come to Juneau for Jonathan Wood. Jonathan, if you'd state your name and affiliation.
Wood.
Go ahead.
No problem. Hi, my name's Jonathan Wood. I'm speaking on behalf of myself, and I live here in Juneau, Alaska. I sincerely believe it is absolutely essential that we protect our wild salmon fisheries. I don't believe that this protection is really possible unless the current laws are updated. While I think that HB 199 is certainly an attempt at doing that, I don't think its current iteration goes nearly far enough. Public participation throughout the permitting process and a simplified two-tier system are both steps in the right direction, but more can and should be done. Alaskans deserve a strong state law that demands accountability in development projects and doesn't sacrifice vital salmon habitat to short-sighted and irresponsible development. Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we will go to Wasilla. Joe Schlinger, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Joseph Schlinger, and I'm from Wasilla, and I represent myself. And I am against HB 199. The reasonings for that is I believe that we need to be open for business here in the state of Alaska. And I believe this bill, kills any business with mining, resource development, when it comes to, because this is all creeks, lakes, any bodies of water. And it's going to restrict any mining of gold, et cetera. I'm not a mining expert, but I know for a fact that we've got a $150 million project out of Port McKenzie still sitting there waiting for coal, gold, and all kinds of resources to go to the port. and it still has not happened. For 10 years, we've been sitting there waiting for this project to move forward, yet the legislatures, the legislative body, has done nothing to move this forward. And that's all I've got to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Petersburg, Rebecca Knight. Rebecca, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Knight, and I speak for myself today. I'm a 43-year resident of Petersburg, Alaska, and I began fishing with my husband 40 years ago for salmon. My family still depends on salmon for our livelihood, and that includes my two sons who were essentially raised on the boat. I have two grandchildren now, and I'm very, very concerned about their future. I also believe that habitat is our number one most intact habitat, is our number one most important resource. I support HB 99 with the caveat that the gutting of the proof of anadromy clause should be reinserted. And I say that particularly because not only are these streams important and proof of anadromy important, but the class 4 headwaters also need some protection, and they are some of the most important aspects of a watershed as far as their contribution to salmon livelihood. Anyway, our industry is going through hard times right now. I heard a troller talk a little bit earlier, and he probably didn't even get into the meat of it, but things are looking bad, and people are starting to get kind of worried. I would also like to say that regarding other industries' claims of uncertainty, well, commercial fishermen, salmon fishermen, and fishermen in general have a lot of uncertainty right now, and knowing that our habitat's going to be protected is very important. And I would also like to say, as a former retired ADF&G employee, that politics plays a major role in decision-making and the strength of enforcement as far as salmon habitat protections are concerned. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And I see no one else online. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? If you'd want to step forward and state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Okay. Right here?
Right there.
My name is Mike Mann. I'm a commercial fisherman, and I am representing myself and anybody else who supports 199 in regards to that. And after reading newspapers and things, I would just like to mention something to the people who are making comments about 199 not being the ideal thing. And I would like to say the things that they're talking about is that it's going to affect the economy, not only of the state, but the businesses that are going to get involved. Well, the problem is that what's affecting the economy is bad habitats in our salmon systems. And if that continues on, you know, it's going to be affecting it in our our economy is not going to be as good as it was back in the day when I was started fishing with my uncles. That was back in 1953. And during that period of time, you know, there was just predominantly a big business of commercial fishing and salmon industry, that kind of stuff. And I just think that House Bill 199 is very important to assure that we can keep this and keep it going, and that we should also understand that in those years prior to, you know, current time, that our state didn't have this kind of amount of people here. And what was the main source of individuals coming here to Alaska? It really did seem like a major portion of people coming to Alaska and to having fun and wanting to stay here was one of the factors is salmon fishing. They enjoyed that, along with, you know, the habitats around here and taking good care of it. And so then we increased it. So in the process, of us taking care of the salmon habitats as much as we possibly could, you know, actually improved the state of Alaska throughout the years. And I know recently, you know, things are starting to change a little differently because we're starting to have, you know, more people willing to cut down on the salmon industry, which I don't think we should be doing, you know, and we shouldn't allow any of that to be done because the salmon industry in the 50s before statehood is what predominantly brought the statehood to becoming actually the state to become a statehood state. And then in the 60s, when I was just a teenager and I started fishing by myself, that I noticed that we supplied, you know, we were being taxed a lot and stuff, that kind of thing.
I'm going to have to ask you this.
Our industry was all,
right.
So that's why I want to support the House Bill 199, because I think that's a good thing to do for us to assure us to be here and to continue to be obligated to our state and do the things that is necessary to help our state.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mm-hmm. And I see no others online. Oh, yes, I do. I see Jim Sykes in Palmer. Mr. Sykes, if you would state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Jim Sykes. I'm speaking for myself. I am a member of the Matsu Borough Assembly and a member of the Matsu Borough Fish and Wildlife Commission, but I am not speaking on behalf of either of those bodies. I just want to say that I support personally HB 199. I think the robust language that was in earlier should be restored. In terms of Matsu, we have 8 of 14 streams of concern across the state of Alaska. That means they're on the edge of having difficulty being sustainable. And about half the borough is wetlands. A lot of that drain into the Susitna-Yenna system, and we're working very hard to try and restore what we used to have more than 30 years ago. And it was a very vibrant, healthy system. Most people fish for kings and reds, and in the fall, later on, it's, of course, the silvers. But we have to try and do our best to restore that, because if we are successful in restoring that, it also means more fish for commercial fishing and dip netters in the inlet. And my wife and I do depend on dip net fishery, the personal use dip net fishery. Many people have talked about the provisions of it, but I think it's particularly critical to Matsu and our economic health, our return to a stable, healthy stream. And for us, it's salmon is food and salmon is life. And we need to support that. I think HB 199 is a good step in that direction. And I thank you for your time and your work on this. And I'd also like to thank Representative Newman and Eastman that I see on the screen. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you for your testimony. With that, seeing no one else, we will take a 15-minute at ease. Okay, fisheries will come back on the record just long enough to take an at ease until 8:15. House Fisheries is back on record, and we are going Ben Timby out of Sitka, and I will give you 3 minutes. And if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and begin your testimony.
Yeah, my name is Benjamin Timby, and I'm just speaking on behalf of myself as a private citizen.
Perfect. Begin your testimony, please.
Okay. I'm just calling in. I'm a 29-year-old sitcom down here. Been in the state since I finished high school. Came up from Colorado, and I've been fishing and working in construction the last 10 years in Alaska, and the main reason I came up here was the pristine wilderness, clean water, and subsistence lifestyle. And in appreciating those things, which I think are central to all Alaskans, and in prioritizing those things, while also understanding the needs of industry,
and the pressures of that. I do think it is time to update our outdated enforcement system, you know, our environmental safeguards. Should anything like the Mount Pauley disaster that happened in British Columbia happen, or what we see up in Tulsa-Colchi, up there, the mining leaching into Taku Inlet, or should something like Pebble Mine ever go in, it could be disastrous and irreparable. And I think the methods of mining have changed in the last 60 years, and it's appropriate time to update our regulations to make sure that we are on the safe side, so we do not destroy our most important resource, which is our way of life and our subsistence. So I think that this House Bill 199 has weaker language. I prefer the Stand for Salmon ballot initiative, but whatever we can do to make progress on this issue would mean a lot to me, and I know to many other people, many other Alaskans. So that's all.
Thank you, and thank you for your testimony. And next we'll go to Katie Lloyd in Anchorage. Katie, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yeah, my name is Katie Lloyd, and my affiliation is representing myself.
Perfect. You may begin your testimony.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for hearing our public comment. I am a wife, mom, and angler. I absolutely love salmon. I grew up fishing with my father in the Great Lakes. I'm the daughter of a fish and game warden of the state of Pennsylvania. Coming from Lake Erie, I all too know what happens when you don't protect fish habitat. Growing up on Lake Erie, it was often a joke that you don't eat any of the fish if you value your life. So most of our fishing was simply for sport and fun, catch and release. But it wasn't that we were putting them back because we had to. It was putting them back because it was disgusting. And the Cuyahoga River outside of Cleveland in 1969 caught fire. And I remember growing up, my parents telling me that story about how man had polluted the rivers and tributaries that go into Lake Erie so badly that they actually caught fire. I've seen the decimation in the lower 48. Hello, Sitka. I, too, moved here recently from Colorado about 3 years ago and came here because as a lifelong fisherwoman, you can't beat Alaska. And my husband and I moved up here. We created jobs in the area with small business owners, and we fish. And it's definitely a way of life for everybody. It's how we feed our family and those valuable, valuable jobs across our state. I think that when you see the decimation of fish habitat in the lower 48 and how careless industry has been, no matter how many promises they make, they leave a mess, and then us as taxpayers have to clean it up. We see it time and time again. And Alaska is smarter. Alaska is better. And I have to believe that in my heart when I look at things like Pebble Mine, that everyone is going to make the right choice and update our salmon habitat protections. So that we don't end up like the rest of them. We don't end up telling these stories to our children about how we used to once be able to fish pristine waters, but now you better not eat it because it's coming out of a river so laden with chemicals, or a Bristol Bay so laden with chemicals from Pebble Mine that it caught fire. So it's just a terrible thing to have to tell your kids. Instead, you should be like, yes, we're all going to go out and continue this way of life that has been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Protect what you love, and it will always continue to give back. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your testimony. Now we'll go to Matt Boleyn in Juneau. Matt, if you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yep, my name is Matt Boleyn. I'm representing myself and my family. I live here in Juneau. I moved from Minnesota about 14 years ago. And I've been working as a fishing guide, and now I run a small fishing operation that I don't own here in Juneau. And you know, we provide about 20 jobs to all local people, and they're good seasonal jobs. And those people have other local seasonal jobs. My family, we subsist off of salmon as much as we can. We're constantly going out all during all of our time off to have fun in the wilderness and out catching fish, and also to fill our freezers to feed ourselves for the rest of the winter. And I just, having a healthy salmon habitat all over Alaska is just incredibly important to me. It's important to my family. It's important to all of my employees. It's important to all the guests that we take out fishing every single summer. And I just, I think that, you know, Alaskans have over time, you know, shown that, that salmon is really important to us. And I think we can't stop now. You know, I get really worried when I, read in the paper about how BP has contributed, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to the, against this campaign, against this initiative. And they're spreading lies about who is collecting signatures and who is making money off the salmon, where we're local people, we're making money that's staying in the state, in our city, and we're, and that food is staying in our freezer and in our stomachs and our dinner plates. And, it's just, I just wanted to relay how important that was to us.
Thank you. And thank you for your testimony. Next we'll go to Anchorage to Yemi Knight. If you could state your name and affiliation for the record, please, and then begin your testimony.
Hey, hello. My name is Yemi Knight. I represented myself today. I am a student, and I do environment and society. So I plan to eventually work in conservation and what have you. The unique thing about me is that I'm from Barbados. And why salmon is important to me is because as an international person, when we think about Alaska, it's directly linked or synonymous to salmon. And to think that from an international perspective, I could say myself that we take it seriously. But to think that right now, people or powers that be aren't necessarily taking the value as of salmon seriously. Salmon is intrinsically important. Is aesthetically important. It helps supply a stable economy for Alaska. And that's why it's mainly important to me. I also want to thank the Fisheries Committee for their work to help protect salmon and future generations. And that's literally all I have to say.
Thank you. And thank you for your testimony. Seeing no one else, I will take a brief at ease until about 8:28, and I... House Fisheries will come back on record. So, there's no one else to testify, and it looks like we've, for the time being, we've done pretty well on our public testimony, so the first thing I'm going to do is cancel tomorrow evening's public testimony. Tomorrow, during Fisheries, we will be having public testimony by invited guests. And let's see. We will be taking a brief at ease or recessing the meeting tomorrow in order to go to the floor session, and then we're just going to play it by ear, and I will be in touch, or Matt will be in touch with the committee via email as to when we're going to come back on. So let's see. What am I missing? It will be before 3 because we only have this room until 3 tomorrow. And we'll just wait and see how it goes. Uh-oh.
Tomorrow you may be able to use the room after that. We could check about that because resources and labor and commerce are not in here tomorrow on Tuesday. Yes, this room may be available. So we can
check let's see. We may have to go to room. Oh, we may have to have it in room 124.
Which is
or 120. We'll let you know where it's going to be tomorrow. How's that? We'll keep you up to date. And we will, as this progresses, this will not be the last public testimony we have. However, as I said earlier, the next testimony we have will be invited testimony, but I want to say to anybody, you can submit your testimony at any time to my committee aide, Matt Greening. And with all that being said, we will adjourn at 8:31.